At length the governor showed us a cave where we could pass the night, telling us once more that we must leave Tibet, using the road by which we had come. We refused to accept his ruling and tried to explain to him that Tibet was a neutral state and ought to offer us asylum. But his mind could not grasp this idea, and he was not competent to take a decision even if he had understood it. So we proposed to him that we should leave the decision to a high-ranking official, a monk whose official residence was in Thuling, only 5 miles away. Saparang was really a curiosity. I had learned from the books I had studied in the camp that the first Catholic mission station in Tibet had been founded here in 1624. The Portuguese Jesuit Antonio de Andrade had formed a Catholic community and is said to have built a church. We searched for traces of it, but could not find any remains of a Christian building. Our own experience made us realize how difficult it must have been for Father Antonio to establish his mission here. Next day, we marched to Thuling to lay our case before the monk. There we found Eifschneiter and Treipel, who had followed a different route. We all visited the abbot of the cloister, who happened to be the official we wanted, but found him deaf to our prayers to be allowed to proceed on our way eastward. He only agreed to sell us provisions if we promised to go back to Shangtse, which lay on our road to India. There was nothing to do but agree, as we were without food. There was also a secular official in Thuling, but we found him even less accommodating. He angrily refused all our attempts to approach him, and went so far as to arouse the hostility of the people against us. We had to pay a high price for some rancid butter and maggoty meat. A few faggots cost us a rupee. The only pleasant memory that we took with us from Thuling was the picture of the terraced monastery, with its gold-pointed roof pinnacles gleaming in the sunlight and the waters of the Sutlej flowing below. This is the largest monastery in West Tibet, but it has a very deserted aspect, and we heard that only 20 out of 260 monks were actually in residence. When we had finally promised to return to Shangtse, they gave us 4 donkeys to carry our baggage. At first we wondered at their letting us go without any guards, and only accompanied by the donkey man. But we soon came to the conclusion that in Tibet the simplest method of supervision is to forbid the sale of provisions to strangers unprovided with a permit. The presence of the asses did not add to the pleasure of the journey. It took us a full hour to wade across the Sutlej because the beasts were so tiresome. We had continually to urge them on so as to reach the next village before dark. This place was called Phai Wang, and had very few inhabitants, but looking up at the hillside we saw, as in Saparang, hundreds of caves.